Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listening-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one on your phone to ask a question. I would like to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Benjamin Haynes. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Lorraine. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for today's update on the 2019 novel coronavirus response. We are joined today by Dr. Nancy Messonnier, Director of CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, and Dr. Marty Cetron, Director of CDC's Division of Global Migration and Quarantine. Following opening remarks, we'll be happy to take your questions. I would now like to turn the call over to Dr. Messonnier.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. I'm sure you have all heard the news over the last few hours out of California that CDC has confirmed two infections in that state with the new coronavirus. Today, I want to report another confirmed infection with 2019 novel coronavirus in Arizona. This brings the number of total infections with the 2019 novel coronavirus detected in the United States to five people in Arizona, California, Illinois, and Washington State. All of these infections were in people with recent travel to Wuhan, China, the epicenter of the outbreak. Since we began this response, I've said that with our enhanced surveillance and detection capacity, we expect to find more cases of novel coronavirus in the United States. Like we did with Washington and Illinois, CDC teams will be deployed to support the investigations in Arizona and California. As always, CDC stands by to help our state, local, and global partners in any way we can. Since we've announced the first case, we've had multiple states and clinicians reach out to us to discuss potential cases and who have followed up by sending samples if it was warranted. This is a sign that the public health system is working. To date, we have had just over 100 of what we are calling persons under investigations, or PUIs, from 26 states. As I mentioned earlier, five have been confirmed positive, and about 25 have tested negative. We plan to update our webpage with this information regularly on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays starting tomorrow. I want to set the stage right now for us to expect many more PUIs being identified in the coming days. We have faced similar public health challenges before with outbreaks of novel influenza, SARS, and MERS. The latter are two coronaviruses that have jumped the species barrier to cause severe illness in people. Those outbreaks we have seen person-to-person spread, including among healthcare workers caring for patients ill with coronavirus infection. Those public health responses were complex. That is what we are preparing for with this one. We have an aggressive response with the goal of identifying potential cases and their contacts early. We want to make sure these patients get the best and most appropriate care. This is a rapidly changing situation, both domestically and abroad. 14 international locations, including the U.S., have identified cases of 2019 novel coronavirus. And whoever is on the phone, please mute. And not say shh, mute, please. Thank you. Some of the reporting out of China and Wuhan particularly is alarming. Our thoughts are with the people on the front lines of this emerging public health threat. We understand that many people here in this country are worried about this virus and how it will affect Americans. Risk depends on exposure. Right now, we have a handful of patients with this 2019 novel coronavirus in the United States. But at this time, in the U.S., 2019 novel coronavirus is not spreading in our community. For this reason, we continue to believe that the immediate health risk from the 2019 novel coronavirus to the general American public is low at this time. But the threat is serious, and our public health response is aggressive with the aim of protecting the health of Americans. Everyone has a role to play here. It's currently flu and respiratory disease season, and there's a lot of influenza out there still. CDC recommends getting a flu shot and taking everyday preventive actions to stop the spread of germs, and taking flu antivirals if prescribed. If you are a healthcare provider, be on the lookout for people with travel history to Wuhan, China, and fever and respiratory symptoms. If you are a healthcare provider caring for a 2019 novel coronavirus patient, please take care of yourself and follow recommended infection control procedures. For people who may have 2019 novel coronavirus infection, please follow CDC guidance on how to reduce the risk of spreading your illness to others. This guidance is on the CDC website. And for people who may have had close contact with someone who has confirmed 2019 novel coronavirus, please also follow the same guidance and mention your contact to your healthcare provider. Every day we learn more, and every day we assess to see if our guidance or our response can be improved. As this response evolves, CDC will continue our aggressive public response strategy. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Messonnier. Before we take questions, I want to please ask that if you are on the line, please mute your phone. Lorraine, we are ready for questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please unmute your press star 1, unmute your phone, and record your name clearly. If you need to withdraw your question, please press star 1. I'm sorry, star 2. Again, if you need to ask a question, please press star 1. Our first question comes from Sarah with Politico.
Yes. Okay, great. Hi, thank you. I wanted to ask, last week when you had the call, you said 63 cases were under observation, or 63 people were under observation. Are these new cases part of those 63? And what is the status of those if people have tested negative since then?
I think it's really important that we differentiate our language. So last week I said 63 patients under investigation, and now that number has increased to 100. That 100 number includes the 63. Of those, 25 have tested negative.
Next question, please. Yeah.
I'm from Taryn Minto at KPBS. Your line is open.
Thank you. Hi. I'm sorry I got disconnected, so I apologize if I repeat something you mentioned in your opening remarks. One of the things that everyone keeps saying with these cases is that risk of local transmission is really low. Even though it's spreading rapidly elsewhere and we know there's human-to-human transmission, can you explain what exactly you mean by risk of transmission is low locally? And also in San Diego, we have a lab that's working on a vaccine. They want to get it in human trials by the summer. Can you just explain how beneficial getting a vaccine in human trials within that time period would be to this kind of outbreak? Thank you.
Let me start with the second one. I'm pleased to report that a variety of groups are working on treatments and vaccines, and those things could be really important, and I'm pleased to see the scientific progress, and we'll wait to see if those vaccines or treatments become available in time to actually help us with the current outbreak. In terms of your first question, the information coming out of China is certainly concerning in terms of the number of cases and the extent of the outbreak. We are right now ourselves really focused on what's going on in the United States. And right now, every case in the United States has been in a patient who has had direct contact themselves with Wuhan. But we are certainly working with our health departments to evaluate anyone who has been in close contact with those cases. We're taking a cautious approach and looking really carefully at those individuals to look particularly for human-to-human spread. As I said before, information is coming in very quickly, and as more information becomes available, we'll share it with you And certainly our guidance and our approach may need to be modified, but where we are right now is the five cases in the U.S. all themselves had direct travel to Wuhan.
Next question, please.
One comes from Isabel Gutierrez at KIQI. Your line is open.
Good morning. I have two questions. One is, you mentioned the flu vaccine. You urged people to get it, and I'm wondering if that will give us any protection, number one. Number two, is it true that a person that is infected can transmit the disease without showing any symptoms?
Thanks for that, helping me clarify. It's always good practice to get a flu vaccine. There's no reason to think that a flu vaccine would protect someone against novel coronavirus, but it is still flu season, and it's good practice to get a vaccine, period. The second question, I think we also have seen reports out of China regarding the spread of disease. We at CDC don't have any clear evidence of patients being infectious before symptom onset, but we are actively investigating that possibility. Again, that is part of the reason that we're working with our state health partners to be so aggressive in evaluating close contacts. We certainly would want to pick up a close contact who got ill, as it might indeed change our guidance.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Leanne Winnick with CBS. Your line is open.
Thank you for taking my question. So can you clarify what part of California, I believe you said there are two new cases, what county at least where those were, and same in Arizona? And also, given that there are plans to evacuate Americans from the region in Wuhan, I believe a flight on the 28th, are those people going to be screened coming in? Are they going to be isolated protectively? What is the plan for them?
Yeah, thanks for those questions. So the three cases, Orange County, California, Los Angeles, California, and Maricopa, Arizona, are the locations of those three cases. And for the second part, Dr. Cetron, do you want to take that?
Yes. So just to clarify about the American citizens in Wuhan, the Department of State has the lead for the safe and expedient ordered departure of these U.S. citizens in China. CDC is aware, and we're intricately involved in coordinating the planning. And yes, there are multiple stages and multiple screenings that will take place, as well as in-flight monitoring of these persons.
Next question, please.
Comes from Karen. Stacy, your line is open.
Yes, thanks very much. I just wanted to ask if any additional resources are going to be made available by the federal government to try and help tackle this outbreak at all, and what, if so, what they'll be used for.
Broadly speaking, we're working with our department to make sure that we have sufficient resources to deal with the immediate threat, which is the outbreak response, and we're working to figure out what our needs are and how we can make sure that we can support the response here at CDC, as well as to support our state and local partners, which is obviously key to being able to respond efficiently. We're also working to make sure that lab diagnostics are available first at CDC, but we're rapidly working to get those available to state and local health departments, and also doing what we can to ensure that countries around the world have access to what they need to be able to diagnose cases as well.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Nassim Miller with Orlando Sentinel. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking my question. You know, us being Orlando and being a big tourist hub, we had a MERS case back in 2014. I was just curious if you're able, or at some point we'll be able to share these 100 cases that you're investigating, which states they're located at. And I also wanted to find out whether you're planning to put the Orlando International Airport among one of those airports that you're going to monitor more closely.
You know, let me take that in two parts. As of next week, when we start putting information on our website about the PUIs, we'll be identifying the 26 states that have reported PUIs. But again, I ask you to please be careful in your reporting on the wording. These are not cases. These are patients mm-hmm. under investigation, and many of them will be ruled out based on evaluation, laboratory testing as being cases. So we want to make sure that the public doesn't get confused about PUIs. If those PUIs are confirmed to be cases, we'll work with the state health departments in terms of what information they want to release. And as I think I've said before, but I'll say again, that we expect there to be additional cases of novel coronavirus in the United States. Marty, do you want to answer this one?
Yeah. We have staff at quarantine stations that cover the United States, and this includes the 20 different ports that you can find a map of online. They also have jurisdictional responsibility more broadly for all the other ports in conjunction with our federal partners and state and local partners in terms of responding to ill passengers. The Orlando airport is covered by the Miami quarantine station, and we will be prepared to respond to any ill passenger, in particular with heightened awareness about travelers coming from Wuhan and coronavirus risk. Over.
Next question, please.
Robert Gorova at KPCC, your line is open.
Yes, thanks. Of the two California cases, can you say if either of them traveled through LAX? And if so, was it before or after the screenings were set up? Thanks.
Yes. Dr. Messini, and what I would say is that I really need you to refer you to the health departments in California who would be best equipped to answer those questions.
Next question, please.
Eden David with ABC News Media Unit. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you so much for holding this update. So two questions. One, and sorry if I missed this, I just wanted to confirm that this Arizona case was also travel-related. And two, has the CDC offered or been asked to help China, and do you have anyone physically in China helping with trying to figure out how the virus is spreading?
This is Dr. Messonnier. So, yes, the patient in Arizona had traveled to Wuhan himself. So that's the answer to that. And in response to the second question, CDC has for many years had staff in China working closely with our partners on a variety of health issues, including respiratory viruses and influenza. That team is not directly involved in this response, but we are certainly hopeful over the coming days that we'll have additional engagement on response to this outbreak in China.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Next question, please.
Remember. Michelle Cortez with Bloomberg News.
Hi, thanks so much for taking the question. I'm wondering if you can tell us how the status is of the patients in Washington and Illinois are, if we're seeing any human-to-human transmission from them, and if they're still in isolation. Thanks.
Yeah, so all of the five patients that have been identified with novel coronavirus are hospitalized. In terms of specific information about each particular patient, it would be best for you to ask that question of the health department, and we are actively investigating around each of those patients' close contacts to be looking specifically for, as you asked, close contacts who have potential illness. Our approach to the close contact is what you would imagine. We're tiering those individuals based on risk and having more active follow-up for close contacts who we judge to be at higher risk. But more than that, I think we need to give a little time for those investigations to unfold.
Next question, please.
Brittany Shamas with Washington Post. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Can you respond to the latest comments from Chinese officials who have said that the virus can be spread during the incubation period, and just share your thoughts on that? And then secondly, can you confirm that the virus has gotten better at spreading among humans?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to comment on that. We've seen the reports out of China regarding the spread of disease. We at CDC don't have any clear evidence of patients being infectious before symptom onset, but we're actively investigating that possibility. in terms of the changes in the virus, as many of you may know, we have at CDC the entire genetic sequence of the first case of novel coronavirus in the U.S. that is being posted now. Now that we have additional cases, we will be doing the sequencing on them as well and comparing those with our first case as well as the case that is already been posted with China. We are in active collaboration with many scientists within the United States and around the world who are specifically looking at these genetic sequencing to see if it gives us any clue about the origin of the novel coronavirus as well as what characteristics we can expect from it.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Anna Kuchman with Dallas Morning News. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering what advice you might have for Americans with travel plans to East Asia in the next few weeks.
We are recommending that Americans who had plans to travel to Wuhan delay their travel. Otherwise, in China, we have a level one travel notice, which means people should be aware of this epidemic. The situation is changing rapidly, and what I would tell travelers who have upcoming travel is that they should pay close attention to CDC's website. We'll be posting information as quickly as we can on that website if we have additional warnings to people with upcoming travel.
Next question, please.
Sarah Ormal with Politico. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for taking a question again. I wanted to ask about the diagnostic test and what kind of timeline you have for being able to distribute that to states, whether it's a matter of days or weeks, and what the progress has been, or is it because you're waiting for like a go-ahead from FDA? What is taking the time here?
Yeah, this is a little complicated, but what I would say is that it is of utmost importance that any lab result that CDC or our state and local partners provide is impeccable. We wouldn't want to inadvertently give somebody the idea that they have novel coronavirus and then later on find that they don't, or vice versa, obviously tell somebody that they're fine. And so we need to hold our diagnostics to the incredibly highest possible standard. Being able to develop an entirely new diagnostic and utilize it for clinical care on this kind of timeline requires a lot of precision. And so we're moving as quickly as we can, but we're being understandably cautious, as you would all expect us to be. We're working closely with the FDA. I don't see any obstacles there, but it is going to take a little while because we need to make sure that there is enough precision in our test and before we move this out to our state and local partners. In terms of timing, I would say a couple weeks is what I've been saying as a safe estimate, but know that we're doing everything we can to make it as quick as possible because we completely recognize the value of that test being as close as possible to the patients.
Next question, please.
Erica Edwards with NBC News. Your line is open.
Oh, thank you so much. I just wanted to clarify a few things. Could you please restate exactly how many people you have under investigation or, you know, how many samples you've received for testing? I think I heard 100, but I wasn't sure what the exact number it was. Also, were any of these five confirmed cases identified through airport screenings? And also, what's the criteria for these folks to be released from the hospital? Thanks so much.
Okay. So the first question is, as of this morning, there were just over 100 patients under investigation, but I want you to understand that we are getting calls all day, all night from clinicians. That's what we want. We want people to have a high index of suspicion and to call if they have a patient that they're concerned about. So as of this morning, it was around a little over 100, but by tomorrow that number will go up, and that's a good sign. That's the answer to the first question. Marty, do you want to talk about the second, and then I'll go back to the third?
Sure. You know, the airport screening program is twofold, one, to find sick cases, and secondly, to alert the travelers who are coming in from Wuhan and areas of risk to be alert to symptoms that may develop after arrival. And the program has been able to be helpful in that regard in terms of alerting the potential ill traveler arrival that bundled into the diagnostic. But it's as we've always said, there are many components to this program, and the airport screening is just one part of raising awareness for early detection and protecting the public.
And in terms of your third question, which is release criteria, what I would say is that our focus is on making sure that these five patients are under appropriate clinical care, and that right now we think they are. We're going to be thinking about hospital release on a case-by-case basis. We're going to be evaluating these patients clinically. We're going to be retesting them, and we are going to be cautious on our recommendations. It is, though, the State Health Department who has more direct jurisdiction over those decisions in terms of hospitalization, but we're working closely with all of the health departments to make these joint decisions.
Lorraine, we have time for two more questions.
Okay. We have ESC, Scott Carpenter with ESC Media, San Francisco. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you. This surrounds fomites. Reliable medical sources have suggested certain virus, coronavirus among them, could be transmitted through packaging. Is there any concern on packages and such other items received from China and affected Asian countries at this time?
Last question, please.
John Coyne with Science Magazine. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Has CDC isolated the virus from any of the patient samples? And secondly, in your description of why everything is being sent to the CDC, the WHO has diagnostics spelled out that many other countries are using. State labs and academic labs in this country certainly have the capability to turn around tests in 4 to 6 hours. Why is the CDC still directing everything to one central place when other countries have completely different systems that work much more quickly to identify and confirm cases?
I think that's probably a misnomer. Our testing is also a 4 to 6 hour test once the sample is processed appropriately. And I think what most of those countries are doing is comparing the sequence information. Our assay is posted online, so it is possible for folks to use it, but we hold ourselves to an incredibly high standard of precision in terms of laboratory testing. We wouldn't want to inadvertently make a mistake in patient care. So it's always the balance of speed versus precision, and because of the sensitivity of this issue right now, we're really trying to make sure that we exercise appropriate caution in terms of development of these diagnostics.
And do you have an isolate?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. So we have isolated from the first patient and now from the second, and we'll be continuing to move along that pathway. We are growing the virus, and again, on Friday, we posted the entire genetic sequence of the first patient in the United States as well as our protocol. So that should be online on our website where other scientists can find it as well.
So you plan to share the isolated virus with academic labs now?
Once we grow it, it is still growing. Once we grow it, it is completely within our best interest and our regular practice to share it with others who can do with us the appropriate work and research that needs to get done, and we're actively working on an approach to how we can most efficiently share it, because we certainly want the entire academic community as well as all of our partners to be working with us on solving this this outbreak.
Except one other very quick question. Is there any situation in which the U.S. would shut down transportation the way that Wuhan has done?
I think that we continue to assess the actions taken by Wuhan and continue to assess the U.S. situation, and we want to really focus ourselves on what's going on in the U.S. now. I also maybe would say in closing, as related to that issue, that the U.S. has faced multiple pandemics before of varying degrees and severity. We need to be preparing as if this is a pandemic, but I continue to hope that it is not.
Thank you, Dr. Messonnier, and thank you, Dr. Cetron, and thank you all for joining us this afternoon. Please visit our coronavirus webpage for updated response information, and if you have further questions, please contact the main media line at 404-639-3286 or email media@cdc.gov. Thank you.